Good morning. Today we're going to continue our study in the book of Judges. In our last session, we read about Gideon, how God called him. And Gideon was very surprised to be called a mighty man of valor and to be asked to lead God's people against the Midianites and the Amalekites. But God worked with Gideon, had the wet fleece and the dry fleece, had him go down and listen to the Midianite soldiers who were scared and convinced that Gideon would defeat them. And then, of course, he and only 300 men scared the Midianites and they ran. Then a few of the tribes of Israel nearby came and fought and had a great defeat. Very successful. And now we're going to look at Judges 8 and 9, where things get tougher. You see this many times with figures in the Bible where they work with God and achieve great victory, and then sometimes they go on to have peace for a long time. Other times things get difficult very quickly. And so we'll see some of each. We'll see some peace in the reign of Gideon, some problems with the other tribes being mad that they weren't invited to go fight. And of course they were invited to go fight, but then a lot went home because they were scared. Basically, there was a big victory and they wanted a piece of the glory. And then there's problems with Gideon's sons being jealous with each other and just a bunch of drama. But again, it's indicative of what I said when we started the book of Judges. They're real ups and downs. There are periods where a man or a woman comes to judge and lead Israel and they have great prosperity. And there are periods after the judge dies when they go back into idolatry and become taken captive by a foreign power. So we read the good side of the judgeship of Gideon in Judges 6 and 7. In chapters 8 and 9, we'll see some more good things, and then we'll see things quickly go downhill. So it's all for our learning. We don't live in that administration. We don't have to go gather our neighborhood together to fight Midianites or Amalekites. We simply need to walk with God, live His Word, and share it with others. Today in the age of grace. So, starting in Judges chapter 8, we'll begin. And the men of Ephraim, remember Ephraim was one of the two sons of Joseph. They call it the half-tribe of Ephraim and the half-tribe of Manasseh, because together they make up the sons of Joseph. So the men of Ephraim said unto him, to Gideon, why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledst us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide him sharply. So instead of being glad that he chased the Midianites, they were mad that they didn't get to take part in the battle. And two, he, Gideon, said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeb and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeb and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And, you know, did you totally win the battle, that we should be giving you bread? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeb and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. In other words, you didn't want to help those walking with God to bring you deliverance, so you'll pay the price later. And he went up thence to Penuel, and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now Zeb and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian, were in Karkor. Their hosts, their army were with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east. For they fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. That's remarkable, because remember the Israelites were held in bondage, they were greatly outnumbered, yet 120,000 men of the enemy soldiers died, and only 15,000 were left. Verse 11, Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbehah, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited or confused all the host. And Gideon the son of Joash returned from the battle before the sun was up. And he caught a young man of Succoth and inquired of him. And he described unto him the princes of Succoth and the elders thereof, even 77 men. So 77 men were the leaders in Succoth, and that was the first town that refused to help them. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, Behold, Zelba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. Then he said unto Zeba and Zalmunna, What manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, As thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if you had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether his firstborn, Up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zelba and Zalmunna said, Rise thou and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Look how far Gideon had come. If you remember the beginning of chapter 6, he was, threshing wheat behind the wine press because he was scared of the Midianites seeing him. Now he's conquered their armies, he's been victorious, and he even slew the kings of the Midianites. Verse 22, Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both you and thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, verse 23, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you, the Lord shall rule over you. And that's all God really wanted, was to be the ruler over his people. He needed men and women like Gideon and Deborah and others to stand up and lead the people, but the Lord would actually rule over them. Verse 24, And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment, and they cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And that was a small part of the spoils, because each soldier would have had other valuable weapons, and perhaps bracelets, or necklaces or something. So he was asking for just the earrings, a small amount of prey. Verse 26, And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, a huge amount of money, besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. So they got the earrings of all the soldiers, plus all the things that the kings had. Verse 27, And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put in his city even an ophrah, and all Israel went thither a whoring after it. So they went to worship this ephod Gideon had made. Instead of worshiping God and looking at the ephod and saying how thankful we are that God gave us victory and we have this ephod as a result, they worshiped the actual ephod. That happened a lot in the Bible. Remember the brass snake that Moses made when everybody turned away from God and fiery serpents were eating up the people, were biting them and killing them? God said, make a brass snake, and anybody who looks at it will be healed. But then people in later generations went on to worship the brass snake. Of course, the power was not in the brass snake. The power was in the Spirit of God and the Word of the Lord saying, if you look at the snake, you'll be healed. But people like something physical to worship. That's why in all of Christianity and in religions around the world, there's always a cross or a statue or a picture or something that people want to bow down to instead of the true God. So this thing, so again, verse 27, Gideon made an ephod thereof, put it in his city, even in Ophron. All Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. So Gideon got a little bit of grief from the tribe of Ephraim, but he ended up totally defeating the Midianites, and he had 40 years of peace. And Jerubbabel, that was Gideon's other name, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his house. And Gideon had 70 sons, 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine, that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name was Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age, and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash's father, and Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam. And you've probably seen it in the Bible. Words like whoring and fornication sometimes do refer to an actual physical sexual act, but so many times in the Old Testament they're referring to people who leave their first love, the true God, and go love or worship another god. They call it spiritual fornication or going a-whoring after other gods, which is what we have here. So it came to pass, verse 33, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness unto the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. And this is just typical of this period in the history of Israel. They would turn aside from the true God, worship false gods, and end up in bondage. An analogous thing would be if, let's say, you had a bad day and you prayed and God brought you much deliverance, and the next day you forgot all about God and wanted nothing to do with him again. Now, the difference is we'd still have our Holy Spirit. We'd still have our eternal life. What we'd be missing out is the blessings of God in our lives. Because, as you know, we have to freely love God, trust God, and ask him for help, for him to help us. Well, these guys didn't. They asked all the false Canaanite gods for help. And, of course, not only did the Canaanite gods not help them, but the true God of Israel couldn't help them either because they weren't asking him. They weren't trusting him. So let's go on to Judges chapter 9. Next chapter here. This is where Gideon's sons get very odd. So Abimelech, remember that it said he was the son of Gideon's concubine in Shechem. So Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, the son of Gideon, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother, saying, "Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, all the sons of Gideon, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh." So he's saying, what do you want? Do you want 70 sons of Gideon ruling over you, or just me? And remember, I'm one of your guys. I grew up here. I'm your bone and your flesh. Verse 3, and his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their heart inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver, out of the house of Baal-berith, that was the false god they worshipped, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons, which followed him. So the men of Shechem gave Abimelech money. He hired a bunch of ruffians to follow him. And they went on. Verse 5, and he went up to his father's house, Gideon's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, Gideon, was left, for he hid himself. So Abimelech the son of the concubine of Gideon, has gotten the men of Shechem to support him. They've taken silver out of the house of their false god. He's hired a bunch of ruffians, and they have slain all of Gideon's other sons, except the youngest, Jotham. Verse 6, and all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Millo, and went, and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. And when they told it to Jotham, that's the youngest son, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice, and cried, and said unto them, hearken unto me, listen, you men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. And then he tells this parable. Verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? I got a good thing going. I give great olive oil. Everybody loves me. Should I leave that? Verse 10, and the trees said unto the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, the thorn bush, come thou and reign over us. So the first three, the olive, the fig, and the vine, they had good fruit. So they had no interest in essence going into politics or leading the army. They said, no, I got a good gig. But the bramble, nobody likes the bramble, and the bramble doesn't produce anything. So he's going to take up the offer. Verse 14, then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come your, put your trust in my shadow, and if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the trees of Lebanon. So this is the end of the parable. And now Jotham says, now therefore, if you've done truly and sincerely in that you've made Abimelech king, and if you've dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you and adventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, and you are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons 70 persons upon one stone, and made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother, verse 19. If you then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal, and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, verse 20, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Millo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for the fear of Abimelech his brother. Verse 22, and when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. So the results of Abimelech's horrendous actions by killing the sons of Gideon are now coming back to roost. And I understand it, because this place is surrounded by chickens. You hear them every morning, so coming back to roost is a term I relate to right now. Verse 25, and the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him in the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them, and was told Abimelech. And Gaal the son of Ebed came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and made merry and went into the house of their god and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. And Gaal the son of Ebed said, who is Abimelech, and who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal, and Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand, that I would remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privately, saying, Behold, Gaal the son of Ebed and his brethren be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. Now therefore up by night, thou and all the people and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and set upon the city, and behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as thou shalt find occasion. So Ebed is rising up against Abimelech. The ruler of the city of Shechem is advising Abimelech to come fight Ebed. Verse 34, And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. So he broke his troops up into four groups, and they were laying wait outside the city of Shechem. Verse 35, And Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, Behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains. And Zebul said unto him, Thou seest the shadow of the mountains, as if they were men. So Ebed sees him coming, and Zebul says, Oh no, that's just shadows. You're seeing things. And Gaal spoke again and said, verse 37, See, there come people down by the middle of the land, another company come along by the plains of Manoah. Then said Zebul unto him, Where now is thy mouth wherewith thou saidst to his Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah. And Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field and told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies and laid wait in the field and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city. And he rose up against them and smote them. So he seems to have taken care of Gaal, who was trying to attack him. And Abimelech and the company who was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and the two other companies ran upon all the people in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into an hold of the house of the god Berith. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered there. Great drama here. Verse 48, And Abimelech gat him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bow from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, What you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. Verse 49. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow, or bough of a tree, and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold. So they wrapped these leaders of Shechem were all in this tower in the middle of town. In medieval days, you'd call it the castle keep. It was like the tallest, most secure part of the fortress. But he surrounded it with wood, put them to the hold, and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. Verse 50, Then went Abimelech to Thebez and camped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and gat up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came under the tower and fought against it, and went hard under the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. This isn't the first time where a city's been besieged and there was a very smart woman in the city that solved the whole problem. Sometimes by dropping a millstone. One time, I think we read this a few sessions ago, there was one guy the attacking army was after, and this very wise woman said, What do you want? Said, We want the head of so-and-so. She said, Fine. She went to the elders of the city, they chopped off his head, threw it over the wall, and the battle was over. Well, here this woman just dropped a stone on Abimelech's head, broke his skull. Verse 54, Then he called hastily unto the young man his armor-bearer, and said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men may say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, They departed every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. So what Jotham said came to pass. He said, if you guys aren't doing this honorably by making Abimelech your king, then may fire come out of Abimelech and burn you down, which it did, and may Abimelech be defeated also, which he was. So it's an interesting record. The record of Gideon that we started four chapters ago started out with a young man who was scared and totally not confident, but God worked with him, was patient with him, helped build his confidence and his believing, and then Gideon led the Israelites to great victory over the Midianites, and Gideon continued to judge Israel for 40 years. He didn't rule over them as a king, but he judged them as a man walking with God to serve God and help his people. There's 40 years of peace. Then after he died, one of his sons slew all the other sons but one. But then Jotham cursed them, and the curse came to pass. And we'll see next time who the next judge of Israel is, what they do, and what great victory they bring for God's people. So Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful truths in your word. Thank you for wonderful men like Gideon and many other men and women who, and the wise man, woman on the gate on the wall of the city who slew Abimelech, and so many others who have walked with you through the years to bring deliverance to God's people. May we learn from those who walk with you and bring deliverance. We can learn what to do. And may we learn from those who walked away and turned their backs on you, that we may learn what not to do. And thank you for this, and thank you most of all for the salvation, deliverance, and eternal life we have through the wonderful work of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for his imminent return, that one day he will come back and our bodies will be changed so they're immortal and incorruptible. And we look forward to a wonderful week of trusting you, believing you, praying in the name of your Son, and expecting your deliverance, direction, and help in all that we do. Thank you for this, and a great couple weeks ahead in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.